Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, May the 24th, 2009. Nathan Hobson is the speaker of this service teaching on recognizing religious spirits. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
You know, a lot of people just give him credit for 400, but it's actually right at 800. But you know what was, well, let me go on a little farther and then I'll come back to that. You see, Jezebel is a spirit of manipulation, witchcraft. We've heard about that already. Witchcraft, the simple description of what witchcraft is intimidation or manipulation in order for domination. Control, a control thing, is what it's really about. Lying. 1 Kings 21, 8-10 will tell you that, about her lying. Murdering. She murdered a lot of the prophets of God. And that one man had hidden a bunch of them in a cave and fed them. Domineering. 1 Kings 21, 15 and 25. I'm giving you the verses. We'll not go there. But you read it. You read it for yourself. You study it out. She was a worshiper of Baal. But you know, she prophesied her own death. The Lord do so to me and more also if I don't get you and you don't get what they got. Well, you know the prophecy. And old Jehu, he gets anointed to be king. He comes riding into town on that chariot. He looks up there, and there's all of those eunuchs up there, and there's old Jezzy. He said, throw her down. They threw her down, and he run over, and the dogs ate everything except her hands and her head. Wages of sin is death, and it's more than just physical death. Okay? Her death was prophesied. Now, these last two really come down to home. Number four is the spirit of Eli. Eli was the high priest. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Children of Israel were going to go up and fight the Philistines. And they kind of got spanked the first day, so they came back and got the Ark of the Covenant, which simplified the presence of God going before them. God didn't tell them to take it, but they took it out, and of course they lost it. You know the story. And Phinehas and Hophni both were killed. But see, the problem was that Phinehas and Hophni, or Hophni, however you want to say his name, were fornicators, and they were having intercourse with the women right there in the door of the tabernacle. And Eli, being a great big fat man, huge man, did not have enough nerve to get up and tell them to straighten up, to repent, or anything like that. Now, you boys shouldn't be doing that. But he would choose to look away and not to confront them or anything else. You see, there comes a time in your life when you're going to have to confront the devil. You're going to have to confront somebody. Just like Glenn will do if he has to. And you will have to at some point in time. You're going to have to call sin what it is. Well, these two boys, they go off to lead the battle. You know, they take the Ark of the Covenant, go out there, and the Ark of the Covenant's taken by the Philistines. And you know that whole story, I'm sure. But anyway, fear is the number one thing that Eli struggled with. Fear. Because of fear, he had no authority. He was slothful. He was a glutton, evidently. He was negligent. He would not see after the things that he was commissioned to see about. He was the high priest. And his family, because of all this, his family lost the priesthood, and Zadok, one of the brothers, stepped in and took up that lineage, the Zadok priesthood. Now, what was the result of Eli's compromising spirit? When they came and told him that his sons were dead, he fell backwards off of his stool and broke his neck. And and they told him about the boys and that the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the enemy. You see, compromise will always bring death. And it will bring death to you individually. It will bring death to a church. We see that happening. You know, Josh McDowell several years ago now came to our town, and I went to a luncheon that he was at, and he said the greatest thing that we, the church, is going to have to struggle with in America in the future is tolerance. Tolerance. Being tolerant of the homosexuals, of the, you know, the perversions. Being tolerant of free sex and all of that. Being tolerant of gambling, being tolerant of drugs, being tolerant. Now, I have a heart for drug people that are hooked on drugs. I have a heart for them. I have a heart for the alcoholic. I have a heart for the gambler. And you know, as you well know, gambling is becoming more and more prominent all the time. And compulsive gamblers is hooked as the worst addict in drugs is. Hello? And television's not helping that any because they got high-stakes poker on some channel every night. And people think, well, wow, I can get on that television and I can play that poker on that deal, you know, on the email and internet. And I can get invited out there to one of them big tournaments and they'll furnish me $10,000 to enter it in. And people are getting sucked into that by the thousands all the time. Well, let me tell you something. I'll confess a little bit about my past. I was a poker player. I didn't play Texas Hold'em. To me, that's not even poker. But I don't play poker, and when I quit, I quit. And I'll even tell you why I quit. Because right after the Lord turned my life around, my poker playing buddy came to me and he said, hey, they started a new poker game down at the barbershop. You want to go? And I said, yeah, because I made money playing poker. And I went down there that night and I'm going to lose $100. I intended to go lose $100. And I went in and put on my dumb poker player act. Get caught trying to buy a pot. You know, that's what you want to do. You want to set them up for the next game. Some of you guys shaking your head like you know what I'm talking about. About halfway through that game, I was down about $75. I was getting pretty close to what I was had intended to leave there. And that barber, I won't call his name, I'll remember it well, bottom dealed to me. And bottom dealed to himself and made a heart flush. I saw the Queen of Hearts. He flashed it. He stood up to deal and he wasn't very good at it. I saw it. But when he came up with that Queen of Hearts, I almost went across that table to kill him. It scared me. I got so angry. It scared me. Now, I had just turned my life around just a little while before that. And old Frank, my poker playing buddy that had invited me there, he said, man, he saw it too. He said, I saw your face. I thought you was going to kill him. I said, I thought I was too. Well, the game went on a while longer, and he tried it again, but I set a trap for him. He dealt himself another flush. But I was going to stop him from that, see, so I called for a cut when he was getting ready to deal. Because I saw his five-card stud, and I saw the clubs laying out. And I saw the club on the bottom of the deck. So I called for a cut, and his face turned red. Now, I had two pair. I had two threes and two twos. And you never play. Anybody who plays poker knows that you'll lose more money on two pair than anything you never play. But you know, when I cut their cards, he dealt me another deuce. I had a deuces full. And he dealt himself a club. I emptied his stake. I walked out of there with all my money back except 75 cents. I went out on the sidewalk, and Frank come to me. He said, man, he said, I thought you was going to lose it. I said, well, I nearly did. But I told the Lord that night, I'll never play another hand of poker. And I haven't. Because it scared me, brother. It scared me. I thought I had, because I had, there for a minute, I had murder in my heart. It scared me so bad. I've never really felt that way about anybody before, but that, you know, that just got me. And we can get into things, you know, like that inadvertently. Now, we've got to be careful what we do. All right, the last one I want to talk about tonight is the New Testament one. And I see this all the time. And I will turn to it. Turn with me, if you will, to 3 John. As I saw this, God showed me this years ago. And it is the spirit of Diotrephes. The spirit of Diotrephes. In 3 John, verse 9, he says, John says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. That spirit of Diotrephes is that person who's always going around thrusting themselves forward. They may be a budding young preacher. They may be somebody that God's called. But that spirit of Diotrephes causes them to thrust themselves into a place of preeminence. prominence is what I'm trying to say. Now, going to, because for several years in the particular church fellowship that I belong to and carry credentials with, and they know how crazy I am about deliverance and everything else. They still love me anyway. But I watched, through the years, I began to watch at conventions and stuff, the young preachers who are always hanging on the coattails of the big names. And I'd just get almost sick to my stomach watching how they would try. They would butter up. They would do everything. You know, they couldn't even turn around without almost running over. And then when there was anything to do, they always pushed or thrust themselves forward. Now, here in this scripture it says, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. In other words, the spirit of Diotrephes will always be critical of those in leadership as well. I can do that better than he can. They may not say it out loud, but they'll say it to themselves. I'm a better preacher than he is. I'm a better teacher than she is. I can do that better than they can. Pride. And where's all that rooted? In rejection. It's all rooted in rejection. I want to put myself, lift myself up at your expense. That's what it's all about. Love it to have the preeminence. And always ready to step in. Well, I tell all the young preachers, I've told some here this weekend, God's time. God's time. God has a time for you. And when God's time comes, it'll be right. Paul had to wait basically 14 years before he really entered into his ministry. Joseph waited 13 years before he really realized the vision that he had had, the call that he had had. And all of these people, I don't mind telling you, I did that work for that ministry, but I really didn't enter into what God had called me to do for about 12 years. If you push yourself too forward, you know what you do? You turn everybody off. You really do. They think, that guy's driving me nuts. That gal is, you know, I love you. I know when I got to this one, it'd get kind of quiet in here. But the Lord showed me this years ago, and I began to notice it. I began to think about it. Egotistical. Always with the feeling, the idea that I can do anything you do and I can do it better. Well, I got news for you. God allowed me to be around some real wonderful people of God. And I love to just sit at their feet. I love to carry Brother Frank Hammond's satchel. I'd carry it anywhere he wanted to go. And just be there for whatever he needed me to do. Drive him anywhere he wanted to go and everything. But you know, when I got so sick 5 years ago, and he came to my house, and they'd given me 5 months to live, and I was already past about 5 or 6 weeks of that. He come in to my house. He leaned down and he said, I love you, Nathan. You spirit of death, I command you to come out of him. And it left.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You see, if you serve like Timothy and Titus served Paul, like Silas served Paul, if you'll serve those and be submitted to those in leadership, God will in due time raise you up. You don't have to thrust yourself forward. Just back up and rest in God's grace and God's mercy and let God promote you. And at the right time, when the time is right, He'll promote you. He'll promote you. I promise you that. All right, I'm just about done. Controlling. The spirit of Diotrephes wants to control everything. He goes on to say here, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to putting them out of the church. In other words, this is my church and I'm going to run it. Well, it ain't your church. It's God's church.
Amen.
And if you try to run God's church your way, you're going to just make a great big old horrible mess out of it.
Amen.
That's all there is to it. Now, don't nitpick other people who think things a little bit different than you do. I got news for you. There's not anybody in this room that's got 100% all truth. We've all got some things in our life, our heritage, our background, that may not be exactly the way it is. But always be ready to learn. Never become unteachable. Because the minute you become unteachable, you have given full rein to the spirit of Diotrephes. Is that all right? Okay. I'm going to wind this up now. Believe it or not. You know, it always bothers me when I say I'm going to wind it up and somebody says, praise God. Oh, there's several more that we could examine, but we'll only name them at this time. Saul, for example. Righteous and filled with pride and jealousy. What about Alexander? He's mentioned in Scripture. 1 Timothy 1:19-20. Vicious and attacking. What about Ananias and Sapphira? Hypocritical. Play actors. You heard that explained very well. And lying. Absalom. Conspiring, jealous, murderous, greedy, and envious. What about Ahab? Pouting and cowardly. And there are a whole lot of others. Does it occur to you that you're here by divine appointment? You and I must always be open to the spirit of information. We must be open to the spirit of information. Most likely, every one of us is struggling with religious spirits in some degree or another. Out of our heritage. You know, I could still, it would not bother me at all if we had communion every Sunday, because I grew up with that. But the only problem with that, having it every Sunday, is the fact that it becomes so ritualistic that it loses its meaning. Becomes a ritual, a religious ritual. But I still could do it without any problem because I've learned the true meaning of communion, and I've purposed years ago that when I partake of the communion, I'm going to partake of it rightly so and not religiously. It's a common thing for us in the church to traditionalize any move of God and forget that God may just want to give us a visitation and blessing in that manner just one time. But it's just like the story I told you about what happened in our church, about those three visitations. And then the fourth time, it was not God. It was just us. And I really prayed about that. Not this. I put a stop to it. Now, the fact of the matter is, it is imperative that we get free of all kinds of devastating deceptions, that we humble ourselves before God and say, God, I submit myself to you. Now, here's what God wants out of you. I heard this somebody say this not too long ago. God, who lives in you, wants to clothe himself in your flesh and go out and do signs and wonders in the world. In other words, we are to become so Christ-like. I love the story of Wigglesworth getting on the train. Some of you've heard it, some haven't. But he stepped in the back of the train car. And a man at the other end, Wigglesworth never said a word. A man at the other end of the car stood up and pointed and said, "You, sir, convict me of sin." And before that train had went 20 miles, every man in that car was on their knees praying and asking God to save their souls, repenting before God. I want to be like that. I really do. I desire that. Not for my glory, but for His glory. You know, it wouldn't really, I love to preach. I don't mind telling you that. I enjoy preaching. I have fun preaching. I think it's all right to laugh in church. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I love that. But if God said, I want you to sit down and never speak again, I'd be glad to do it if that's what He wants me to do. I could handle that. He might want just me to come down here and just be Brother Glenn, another one of His right-hand or left-hand men. Just whatever. I'd be glad to do that if God told me to do it. But I know one thing, that to have authority, to have power, I must be under authority. And like I said earlier, every place I go, when the first thing I tell the pastor, and I tell it to right in front of the people, Pastor, while I'm here, I am submitted to you. If I say or do anything that you disapprove of, let me know, correct me, and I will publicly apologize for it before the church. I don't have to be right. I'd rather be righteous.
Amen.
I don't have to be right. I probably got some things, some beliefs in my belief system that you would not agree with. But that's not a heaven or hell issue. The issue is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, that they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And I used to think that meant a martyr's death, but it doesn't mean that at all. You know what it means? I die today. I die today. I die today. I am crucified today with Christ. I'm not ashamed to die today to my flesh. Hello? Now, if God calls me or you to a martyr's death, you know what? He'll give us grace to go through it. That ain't no big deal. If you think it is, read about Fox's Book of Martyrs. They'll tell you. You probably get it over here somewhere. All right. We're going to take a few moments to get rid of some religious spirits. Once you stand up, you've been sitting a long time tonight. And it's 10 minutes after 10, and we'll be out of here by 10:30, to the best of my ability. Now, that may be evangelistically speaking. Stretch a little bit, twist a little bit, relax a little bit. Now, you and I cannot worship the Lord in the prescribed manner, in other words, in spirit and in truth, until we're free from all religious spirits. So I want to ask ourselves this question. Is what we do in church of God or of man? You can sit back down if you want to. If you don't want to, that's all right. The degree to which we preach the true gospel in true power will be determined by the degree to which we are delivered from this most insidious and destructive deception, which is religious spirits. You see, God hates religion. The devil loves religion. Because religion gets you so caught up in ritualistic junk, for want of a better word, that you don't have power to really realize that God may want to do something in your midst. All right. So, the manifest presence of God in our services will bring about the manifest power of God to meet the needs of His people with signs and wonders. And I am a firm believer that God is about to restore the real moving of God in signs and wonders to the church. I really believe that. I think, you know, my wife told me 20 years ago, 25, maybe 30 years ago, when we first came into the Spirit-filled life, she said, you know, God's returning the recognition of the gifts of the Spirit to the church because the time's coming when we'll have to have gifts of healing. We'll have to have provisions for things. That's why I tell everybody God hadn't forgotten the recipe to man. I'm not worried about bunch of stuff. I'm not worried about that at all. My trust is not in the government. My trust is not in the state. My trust is in God. And if God can't take care of me, He can just go ahead and take me home. I don't care. Hey. All right. I want you to say this with me. God, in the name of Jesus, I confess that I have given in to the moving of religious spirits in my life. I'm tired of it. I'm ready to get rid of it. So every spirit who manifests itself in religious activities, I rebuke you right now. I renounce you. And as your name is called, you will leave in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to start calling them out, and I'll call them out. And I'm going to do like Frank Marzullo. I'll probably stop a moment and tell you, now take a big deep breath and blow them out. Yawn. I got to yawning this morning, or this afternoon, when Tom was ministering. First thing I know, you know, my bottom jaw nearly fall off. I yawn so big. That's the way they've always kind of manifest their leaving in my life. Now I'm going to make a declaration, then we're going to start. Devil, in the name of Jesus, we bind your power to keep these people in bondage any longer. I tell you that we have dominion over you. We take dominion over every unclean spirit, every religious spirit. You will leave when the command is given. You will leave quietly. You will not throw anybody on the floor. You won't do anything unseemly. You'll just go. And you'll go to those dry places. And you can just stay there. Now, spirits of judgmentalism. All judgmental spirits, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out right now. Leave these people right now in the name of Jesus. All judgmental spirits in the name of Jesus. Now take a big deep breath and blow it out. That's your part. That's you're acting in faith when you do that. Yawn, cough, whatever. All spirits of formalism. We've got to be proper and formal and all that. All spirits of formalism. I command you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. all spirits of formalism. Go right now. Now take a big deep breath and blow it out. All right. All spirits of traditionalism. That's our tradition. Well, you may need to get rid of your tradition. But that spirit of traditionalism has got to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All spirits of traditionalism, you leave right now in Jesus' name. All spirits of compromise. All spirits of compromise, you leave right now. Go now in Jesus' name. Go. Go now in Jesus' name. All spirits of religious humanism, you go right now. Religious humanism, you go right now. All spirits of doctrinal obsession, being more obsessed with the doctrine than you are with Christ. Okay? Doctrinal obsession. All spirits of doctrinal obsession, you leave right now in Jesus' name. Go now. You can't stay around. I'm a child of God. I have power and authority. Trampling serpents and scorpions. So all you serpents and scorpions out there, and these people, I command you to leave them. You got to go. I believe that. To me, it's just a simple thing. I believe that. Doctrinal error. All spirits of doctrinal error. You know, the hardest thing in the world is to convince somebody that's under deception. All spirits of doctrinal error or deception, I command you to leave right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You go now. Religiosity. You ever have anybody say, man, you've gotten so religious? I just remind them of that story about that boy down in Georgia. Religiosity. All religiosity spirits. You go right now. All spirits of extra-biblical revelations. Extra-biblical revelations. I know this ain't in the Bible, but this is what God told me. Well, you just go tell the devil to take it right back to where he brought it from. Because if it's extra-biblical, if it doesn't measure up with the Word of God, it's a bunch of garbage and you don't need it around. Extra-biblical revelation spirit, I command you to leave these folks right now in Jesus' name. Go! Legalism. All spirits of legalism. Well, you got to do this, this, and this, and you got to cross your T like I cross my T, and you got to dot your I with a little circle like I do my... All traditionalism. You go right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Y'all are doing good. We're not going to go much longer. I'm watching the clock. All spirits of Eli. I think Eli's spirit is one of the big ones in the church. I really do. Compromise. Not willing to confront the enemy or anybody else. Just... You know, if somebody's not doing right, you know they're not doing right. They may be on the deacon board or someplace else doing something, but you know they're not right, but you won't go to them and confront them. Just out of fear. Don't want a confrontation. Stuff like that. All spirits of compromise, I command you to leave them right now in Jesus' name. Go. Go now. One of the big ones, and that was the first one I mentioned, the spirit of Cain, wanting to worship God according to the dictates of my heart, my decision, my mind, what I want to do. All spirits of Cain, you leave right now in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. All spirits of Cain. Well, let's deal just a few moments with some of the false religions and cults. Spirits of Buddha, all Buddha spirits. Do you know Ida May Hammond could walk in your house, and if you had a Buddha, she could smell it. Go into a store. Linda Lau and another lady, Ida May, were at a mall one day, and Linda saw this Buddha sitting in the store, and she said, and Ida May was still outside looking through the window. So Linda took this other lady and said, come go with me, I want to show you something. She went in, and they stood in front of that statue, Buddha statue, so Ida May couldn't see it. The minute Ida May walked in that door, there's a Buddha in here! She can smell them. All spirits of Buddha, you go right now in Jesus' name. Taoism. Taoism. How do you say that? Taoism. All spirits of Taoism, you go. Shintoism. Can I tell you all a funny thing? I'm going to, whether you want me to or not. Years ago, Jane and I were in Honolulu. And there's a beautiful valley there in Honolulu. And in that little valley, they've got a Shinto shrine. Made a replica of the one in Japan. We go down there, and they tell us out by the gate, you know, we have to take our shoes off. Well, that kind of irritated me. But I took my shoes off. We're going through there, and then we go into this room, and there's this big old dingy thing. It's carved out, the ugliest thing in the world. I don't know how anybody could love Buddha. And I couldn't help myself. J.D. and James and Rose were walking ahead of me, and I'm looking at that thing. I just step up on that platform, And I reached up there and I goosed that big old fat belly, and he didn't move. I tell you, I do weird things at times. Hare Krishna. Command you to leave. Any spirit of Hare Krishna, you go right now. Rosicrucianism. I know a whole family. Lady and all of her boys, all three of her boys. The father was mixed up in Rosicrucianism, all three of those boys. One of them is ACDC. The other two, life is just in shambles. Dope and drugs and everything. Good looking young men. Fine young men, you know. But they just, one of them called it, he's had his stepdad call me and say, and ask to set up an appointment for a deliverance session. I met him over in the neighboring city. We had lunch and went out and got my van. And we're visiting a minute. He's wanting deliverance. So I finally told him, I asked him, I said, you know, before we do any deliverance, are you saved? Are you born again? You know Jesus Christ? No. Well, I said, do you want to be? No. I said, then you might as well go. You're wasting my time and yours. Deliverance is a children's bread. Now, if he would have wanted to accept Christ and he would have prayed and humbled himself and repented, yeah, we could have got rid of that junk in his life. But he's the one that's ACDC. Now, he wasn't then, but he is now. Sin begets sin. Well, let me hit a couple more. I'm going to hit Mormonism. Mormonism. All Mormons. Mormon spirits. Spirit of deception. That's one of the greatest deceptions there is. All spirits of deception that's brought people under bondage to Mormonism. You've got a history of that. In the name of Jesus, you spirit of Joseph Smith, you spirit of Brigham Young, you spirit of Mormonism, I command you to leave. You spirit of Freemasonry, which is the root of all that anyway. You leave right now in Jesus' name. Go now. Cast it out. Expel it. Breathe it out. Breathe it out. Whether you've ever been a part of the Masonic Lodge or Mormonism or not, that spirit works about and walks about in the earth seeking somebody to deceive. All right. Jehovah's Witness. All Jehovah Witness spirits, I command you to leave right now in Jesus' name. Go now in Jesus' name. I'm going to include three in this last one, and then we'll quit. Unity, Theosophy, and Unitarianism. If you've ever been tied up in any of them, Catholicism, yes. All of those false cults and false religions. Right now, all spirits of false and deceptive practices, false religion, I command you to leave right now. The whole family of you just got to go. So take three or four breaths and blow it out. See, when we do that, what we're doing, we are participating in the expelling of getting rid of those demons. I learned that from Frank Marzullo. That was one of his keynotes. And he's one of my mentors. Was. Anyway. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to move into every life. Fill every heart, fill every life, every thought with yourself. Holy Spirit, move into each vacated room, each area of each individual's life that has been vacated. Fill it up to overflowing and let not anything unclean come back into those rooms, those parts of their life. In Jesus' name. And say this with me. Father God, fill me fresh and anew with your Holy Spirit in every aspect of my life. And I will praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now, turn to somebody and say, I got rid of some junk tonight. Amen. I'm done. Prayer meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.